hey, have you ever had a great idea and you just want to tell everyone about it, but you're running into a couple problems? Like, one, how do I tell everyone about my great idea? Or even, how do I even get this podcast off the ground? Let me tell you, I was in the same boat as you, kid. And honestly, Anchor is the one that helped me out. Anchor is your one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors, so you can get paid for the podcast you put out. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and tell the world about this great idea of yours, go to anchor.fm/start and join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start, and I can't wait to hear your podcast.
First of all, I just want to apologize for the really crappy audio quality. I did my best to clean it up in post, but you can only do so much in post. So I recorded this at the time while in my car on my way home from vacation. I just had some thoughts I really needed to share, and I kind of explained why Ben's not here and what's going on. But don't worry, Ben will be back next week. So yeah, okay, let's do this. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Designer Exchange. Ben's not here. If you can't tell already, it's quiet. I kind of like it. Don't worry, everyone, though. Ben will be back next week. I'm actually on vacation right now. And I was going to do an episode with my parents, but I just couldn't get my microphone. I was actually borrowing Ben's Snowball, what he used before he upgraded. And I was going to use that with my parents to record an episode with them. But the microphone wouldn't work, and I just couldn't get it to work. So we're not doing an episode with my parents, unfortunately. And that's okay. But instead, I want to take this time that I have, and this is going to be a little bit different of an episode, so if you're looking for some really cool, like, interview with someone, that's not until next week with Cody Warner. Cody will be on as our special guest next week, and yeah, that's super exciting. So be sure to tune in, do the things that you need to do to come back. But yeah, thank you so much for everyone for tuning in. This episode is going to be different. Like I said, it's not going to be an interview. It's not going to be a episode about design. I'm going to talk about something I've always wanted to talk about. And I am going to make a video about this soon, once I get back and kind of get things situated and things ready to go. But I want to talk about overcoming fear. And I want to give I want to give three examples of this in my own personal life that I've had to overcome a fear or realized that I'm fearful of something. And first off, to start off with, fear should never hold you back from anything in life. It should, if anything, it should be the thing that motivates you to do better in your life, to beat it. There's a YouTube channel that I followed called Yes Theory. And the whole point of the Yes Theory is to say yes to things that put you out of your comfort zone, that put you in front of your fears. Whether that's, you know, doing something super ambitious, whether that's, you know, talking to a stranger, whatever that is, the whole point of overcoming love over fear. And I truly do think that that's something that is a part of my life, and that's kind of something that I live by saying putting myself out of my comfort zone as much as possible. But in my own life, I've had to go through three very unique differences of fear in my life that I've overcame on vacation. So I went on vacation. So I live in Fargo, North Dakota, and my parents live in a small town in western North Dakota called Watford City. It's an oil field town. It's over by Williston. It's on like the eastern side of the state, right up against, you know, Montana. And So I decided to take, 4 days and go and see my parents. I had a couple of friends that were coming into town. And all in all, it was just a good time to, like, breathe, relax, and then come back here ready to go full force into work and everything. And when I got home, it was really nice to see the dog, Buster Wee. He's my little beagle mixed with the wiener dog. He's fat. He's a fat black and white dog. I will tell you what. But it was really nice to see my parents. And the one fear that I hit off with right off the bat is, car swerve. Sorry, I'm driving and recording this in my car on the way home. And now I have to sneeze. Ouch. Anywho, something that I had overcome with was, and I'm going to give the three topics and I'll dive into each one as we continue along, is I had to tell someone about how I felt about them in front of them in person, not knowing what that outcome was, which was definitely terrifying. I jumped off of a 15-foot cliff, but I could not jump off a 45 or 35-foot cliff. And then the other thing was kind of explaining to my parents what I do, what I consider full-time. Let's start with the first little thing. I have this huge thing, crush, I don't know, you figure out the word, one of those words, with Fur Girl, and I'm not going to say names because names don't need to be brought into this. But I told my friends, my close friends, about how I felt about her and how I was tired of sitting in one spot, and was tired of playing with the idea of, like, us dating or us going out or me telling her how I felt. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. She was supposed to be in town. And I was like, okay, I'm going to tell her that's going to happen. And I'm just going to overcome this fear in my life, that keyword fear, because I was always afraid of what that answer would be. And I knew that if I didn't say it now, in 10 years, I was going to regret that decision full-heartedly of not being able to tell her. And so I, for a better lack of term, met up with her. We had lunch, catched up, and then I was like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And it's going to be about something that you may or may not already know. But I just want you to listen and hear me out. And I just want to get things off my chest because they need to be said. And I told her how I felt, explained everything to her. She listened really well. In fact, that was pretty much like the best thing ever, was for her just to listen. Because I definitely thought she was going to, like, shut me down and tell me to shut up and then go away. But she didn't. And that really made me happy in the sense that I was able to tell her up front and in person, because doing it through a text or, through a phone call or through FaceTime just wasn't going to do the justice it was needed for me. I needed to do it in person and tell her everything. And things didn't work out as per I already knew that they weren't going to, but it made me happy knowing that basically, I told her how I felt, and B, if at any point both of us were single again, that we could possibly revisit this relationship again, but we would always still be best friends. And that really made me happy knowing that we were still super close. Nothing changed. It was just whether or not we wanted to go up one level and go to that next level. And we weren't ready for that. She wasn't ready for that. Mostly just because she wasn't, and I was completely okay with that. But it made me happy knowing that I got off what I want to get off of my chest, and to tell her in person. And that's a scary thing, to tell someone that how you feel about them and not knowing the outcome is probably the scariest thing that you'll ever do in your life. There's a quote from Yes Theory, and it was when they did their emails. And I have it on my phone. Let me pull it up. Wait for it to load. There we go. Yesterday wrote this and it said, I received an email this week that stood out to me. It was from a young man in love. He'd been friends with a girl for years and only recently realized he had feelings for her. He couldn't help to bring himself to her. Ah, dude, welcome to the club. The anguish we all experience at one point or another, and yet the solution is so simple and terrifying. Tell her. Muster the strength and freaking tell her, because otherwise you'll forever forget. Because otherwise you'll forever regret not having done it. This email reminded me of a passage in Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime. In it, Noah describes himself as a young teen madly in love with a girl at his school in South Africa. Similar situation to this one. They're friends, and he developed feelings. He questioned whether or not to let her know and eventually decided against it. Then one day he comes to school and she's not there. 1 week passes and she still hasn't shown up to classes. Worried, he asked her friends where she's been. Noah finds out she's moved away with her family. What a shame. Her friends tell him, she was really into you. No, it couldn't be. The feelings had been mutual all along, but because he was too afraid to tell her, he found out too late. Noah goes on to explain what this taught him. I don't regret anything I've ever done in life, any choices I've made, but I'm confused with regret for things I didn't do, the choices I didn't make, the things I didn't say. We spend so much time being afraid of failure, afraid of rejection, but regret is the thing we should fear most. Failure is an answer. Rejection is an answer. Regret is an external question you will never have to answer to. What if only, I wonder what would have. You never know, never know, and will haunt you for the rest of the days of your life. So I answer this young man's from this week's email, do it. He did. It wasn't mutual. But he said letting her know was a weight off his chest. He'll get over it. We all eventually do. And one day, not too far off, he'll be happily married and he'll look back at the time he told his crush he liked her. And he will be glad he did, because he'll never know if he asked life's most wrenching question, what if? And that really struck a chord with me in the sense that I don't know what would have happened if I didn't tell this girl how I felt. And I know it sounds like a high school thing or like a middle school thing of like, oh, just tell your crush, blah, blah, blah. But for me, like, we've been friends for years, like 8 to almost 10 years. And I've had feelings for 5 to 6. So, yeah, I was like, it's time now or never. Let's do this. And that was my first fear I overcame. That was on Friday. Saturday rolls around, and which was yesterday. And I guess it doesn't matter when it was. It was the, what is it? Today's the 12th, so the 11th. Anywho, my best friend, Isaac, him and I have been basically best friends since, I don't know, like freshman year of high school. I mean, so that's what, 8 years almost now? He works in the oil field full time. And so we don't get to hang out as much anymore. And him and I were like, or he came over and he was like, hey, let's go to the lake. And I was like, okay, sure. And he's like, I got this really cool spot. My coworker shows me, and you can cliff jump into the lake. And I was like, cool. How tall is the cliff? He's like, it's like 15 feet, nothing major, but like, it's still kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And we did. I got up to the cliff. And if you don't know, for, I guess, background, 3 summers ago now, maybe, yeah, 3 basically. And the summer of 2015, I fell off a cliff in the Badlands of North Dakota. I fell 35 feet of initial drop. And I also rolled like 200 feet. There was like road rash. I didn't break anything. Got, you know, airlifted to Bismarck from there. It was really hot that day. Like, big, huge thing. Yeah. But I lived, and I thank God for that every day. And that's my how I always will answer that, of how thankful I am. And I tried to do better every day because I was given a chance to live. Okay. So now you know why this is kind of a big deal. And normally, Isaac and I have this thing where we always say yes to anything that's crazy, ridiculous, or just absurdly just out of our league. Jumping off cliffs is one of them. If you want to know more dumb stories, follow me on Twitch and I'll tell you really dumb stories of us on Storytime Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Joshua Signari. Links are in the description below. Anywho, we get there and we get to the cliff and Isaac's like, "You ready?" And I was like, "Yeah, just give me a second." And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I go, I will be. Just like, let me gather my thoughts and like do this. And he jumps first and then I jump. And most exhilarating thing I've ever done, like super fun, did it like 10 or 12 times. Had a couple of beers, enjoyed the night, you know, and then two of our other friends showed up as well. And Isaac looks across the, it's a lake, but we're like in a little secluded area of the lake. And this, on the other side, there's a larger cliff that's probably 35, maybe 45 feet. And Isaac's like, "Hey, let's go jump off that." And my first reaction is, "Yeah, let's go do it." So we hike up there. They all jump. And then I get up there. And I look down. And PTSD and fear just strike me to a core. And I could not do it. To a point where I was very getting emotional. Basically bawling like a child on it. I wasn't full-fledged bawling, but I definitely was like, tears were in my eyes of like how I couldn't do this. And Isaac said something at the bottom and he's like, "You were always the person that's taught us to do something stupid in our lives, but always had fun doing it." And he's like, "I understand you're super scared right now, but you just have to jump and take a leap of faith that everything will be okay." And as much as I love what he said, I didn't jump. And I didn't jump because of fear. Yeah, I jumped the 15-foot one. But why crawl when you can run? Like, why stop at the baby things when you can do, and you know you can do it, the big things? And that really sucked. The fact that I let fear, I understand I had a very traumatic experience with high cliffs. But am I going to let one small thing dictate how I run? Am I going to let this small thing, you know, it's a mental game. Am I going to really let this mental memory just sit there and be like, "You can't do that. You hurt yourself when you did something this dumb." Hell no. And I let it, though. I let it win. And that even goes to, like, the Badlands. You know, I was coming home today, and I was like, "You know what? I'm going to stop at the Badlands. It's on the way home, and I'm going to drive up, and I'm going to drive up to the spot where I fell, because I haven't been there in 3 to 4 years. And I got to the gates, and the lady's like, "Hi, can I help you?" And I panicked, because I didn't want, well, I didn't want to pay $5 to get into the park, but that wasn't the big deal. I panicked, because I was like, I have to, like, once I pay, like, I gotta go in. And I was like, and she's like, "Do you want a parking pass?" And I go, no, freaking idiot. I'm packed wearing sunglasses and, like, Vans. And this lady's like, "Yo, kid, do you want a parking pass so you can get into this park so you can go roam and, like, wander?" And I'm like, maybe, like, I couldn't give her a yes. And she's like, "Kid, what do you, is there something I can help you with?" And I finally was like, "I have a friend that used to work there." And I was like, "Is someone still working today? I wanted to come and say hi on my way home." again, I let fear dictate my life because of something stupid. And of course, she's like, no, she's not here. And I'm like, oh, okay. Can I like do a turnaround and like leave? And she's like, yeah, sure. And I didn't. I left and I went home. And I let fear run my life again and let this stupid thing happen to me. I guess what I'm trying to say is don't let fear control your life, because otherwise you have a lot of regret. And I understand these are small regret. You know, the things that, like, whatever, when I get back to that town again, I'll do it again. But that's not the point. The point is, don't let fear control your life. Fear is a very simple and complex thing at the same time. It's so simple because you're like, oh, I'm just afraid of, you know, the dark. Simple. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be a child. But then you go to turn the lights off and you just can't do it. Of course, I'm talking about like children, adult things, to be like paying college debt or like watching your kids go off to school. I don't know. Find something that you're related to that scares you and don't be afraid of it. My point is, always overcome fear. It's super difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm giving you examples of how they're easy and how they're not. But the point is, you feel better when you overcome that fear. I said there's two. I said there's three. What was the third one? When people ask me what I do, I usually tell them that I'm a full-time designer and appliance salesman at Home Depot here in Fargo, North Dakota. And the reason is because I don't like explaining to people that I stream full-time, I run a podcast, and a YouTube channel full-time. Because their definition of full-time and my definition of full-time may not be the same thing. Full-time practically just means that you get paid for doing it full-time. You get paid 40 hours a week, every week, for something that you do. For instance, I'm a full-time employee at Home Depot. I get paid X amount of dollars an hour and work 40 to 45 hours a week on average. But I also stream 3 to 4 hours a night from 9 p.m. to midnight every single night, unless I'm either crazy busy or the podcast went super late. And that's about it. And usually if I start late, I usually go later too. Because I try to get 3 to 4 hours in, usually every night. It's usually about 3. So when people say, what do? Depending on who it is, I'll either say, oh, I work at Home Depot full-time as a designer and sales associate, and I work full-time as a streamer and as a content creator. And that usually is put off by people in certain ways, because they'll say, oh, that's not a real job, or what do you stream, or you can't be a streamer, or what are you, that's dumb, or some stupid excuse that older people tell me that is ridiculous. So when my parents ask me what I've been up to, they already know about the designing. In fact, they already know about the streaming, but my parents consider it a hobby because it's not bringing in millions of dollars or hundreds of dollars a week. So to them, it's not a full-time job, even though I do it full-time. You know, I put in just as many hours into these things than I do Home Depot. The difference is Home Depot gives me a steady paycheck. Now, I understand that this doesn't pay my bills, but I have made some money off of streaming, off the podcast, and off of YouTube, doing one of those three things. Some sort of income has come to me. But just because I don't get paid in dollars or money doesn't mean I'm not earning something in the long run. You know, for an example, me streaming, I've gotten to meet a lot of new people through Twitch and be able to connect and you know, talk to other streamers. I've learned a lot about streaming. I've gained a lot of insight on this platform. You know, through the podcast, I've been able to connect with a lot of other awesome, like-minded individuals and discuss and talk to them about their way, their ideal designs and how they design in different ways and medias. You know, I've gained so much. It's not money, but I've gained so much. And YouTube is the same way. You know, I've created so many videos and I've learned how to edit and learned these skills that I didn't have 7 months ago. Yeah, I got 50 subscribers, almost 50 followers on Twitch to get affiliated. And hell, I don't even know who listens to this podcast most of the time. But the point is that I'm doing something that I love every single day. And I may not be getting paid for it. But the point is I love it. And what's hard is, and I think it's harder for older generations to understand, is that there is a new wave of jobs coming in. You know, everyone thinks you have to go to high school, graduate, go to college, graduate, get a job. And I even myself used to think like that. But there's so much you can do. I know a 19-year-old girl dropped out of film school. She took an internship in Shanghai, and she's in China making videos and working on an internship that she likes, but it gives her the opportunity to travel and make videos somewhere not in the United States. You know, I'm interviewing a vlogger who lives in the middle of Pennsylvania, but has somehow able to muster 2.2 thousand people of subscribers of the course of 6 months. And then one day, the Peter McKinnon with 2.2 million, that's million with an M, ladies and gentlemen, to collab with 192 days later. I've met really awesome people, both young and older, that are making videos. Are they making hundreds of thousands of dollars? No. Do they do it every day? Some of them. Are they getting paid, though? No. And I think it was difficult for me to explain that to my parents, in the sense that I don't get paid in money, but I get paid in experience and things that I just never would have been able to do if I just didn't say yes to turning on that microphone, to uploading that podcast, to trying to do something different. Yeah, I dropped out of college pursuing my dream of being an architect for reasons that are somewhat out of my control. And yeah, I'm pursuing a different medium, a different route of design. But I've always said that design depends on who the designer is. You know, people think, and myself included, think when making a video, the actual filming of a video is not the design part. But it's taking that video that you filmed and then creating something in post. That's the design of it. Same with a podcast. You know, asking the questions and talking through this microphone, that's not the design. Well, it is in a sense, actually. I take everything I just said back. It is, actually. Because editing is just making that voice not sound really crappy. And that's what I'm going to have to do with this microphone, because I'm recording with voice memos with my iPhone. So, wish me luck. The point is that, I guess what I'm just trying to say is, do not let your fears overcome you. Because if you do, what's the point? If you're just going to let fear dictate your life, what are you doing then? Don't let fear overcome your life. Okay? Okay. I've had the windows up for like the last half an hour, 45 minutes, and I don't have AC in this car, and it's freaking hot. It's like 100, what's that dashboard? Oh, cool, 108. Perfect. I came to North Dakota for cold weather. Apparently I came for the heat too. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I know it's a little different. It wasn't a rant. It's just a message. A message to creators and to people in general. Ben will be back next week. Cody Warner will be our special guest. Be sure to tune in. I definitely have questions for this man to answer. on hashtag no small creator. So yeah. Okay. All right. That's about it. This is Josh Signeri. I don't have an outro. I'll just kind of clap.